As you look through your Bible, you come to various great questions which confront men and women, and questions that you really have to answer. There is a question, and we preached on it before here in the church 2 or 3 years ago. It is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The answer really is in the question, because there is no escape if you neglect God's salvation. There's another question, again, which seems to speak to those that are not converted. How shall you do in the swelling of Jordan? Recognizing that one day all men will stand before the Lord, and how we answer that question will depend on how we do. And therefore, it is an important question for men and women. There are also questions that the Christian has to answer regarding his walk with the Lord. And we have come tonight to a passage that brings to our attention a tremendous question. And the question is asked by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's found in verse 67. The end of the verse it says, "Will ye also go away?" You may not recognize immediately the significance of this question to you understand who it was initially addressed to. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Will you also go away?" He was speaking to the 12. He was addressing men who had been eyewitnesses of his miracles. No doubt their faith had been strengthened through that experience. He was speaking to men who had seen the wonders that he had wrought. And in spite of people and what people may have thought regarding his disciples, these were men who many recognized were God's men. Many of them had made a great sacrifice to follow the Lord, and that would have been clear to so many. It's also right to say regarding the 12 that they were men mostly of great courage. They were men of some experience. They were men of a good level of ability in various areas of serving the Lord. These were not novices. They were not people who were unstable, but rather he was speaking to the 12. For it says, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" You see, when you read the verses carefully tonight in this chapter, you recognize that while the Lord Jesus was initially a very popular preacher, no man spake like this man. And people gladly gathered to listen to him. And in fact, there were many who went out of their way to be where he was preaching in order that they might come under the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The people that the Lord is speaking to in this verse 67, they would, to all intents and purposes, appear to be completely dedicated and sold out to the Lord, men whose mark upon the Christian church and upon history is well known and preached upon today. Sometimes we will do a series on the various disciples, and of course with the exception of Judas who betrayed him, generally we have a lot that is good to say about the various men. Of course they're all different personalities, but they were all used of the Lord. And one thing is for sure, they all loved the Lord, and that is of course not counting Judas Iscariot, who was an apostate and never was saved. It's also important tonight as we come to this question to remember that the Lord never misdirected a question. He didn't make a mistake and ask the question to the wrong people. It's fair to say tonight that these were men who, to all others looking upon them, would seem to have a look of solidity about them. They were steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And yet it was to these very people that the Lord Jesus Christ asked this question, which comes down the corridors of time, right down to us tonight. And the person that you need to ask this question to tonight is yourself. And the person that I need to ask the question to is myself. Will I also go away? We mentioned this morning the need for revival when we were looking at that verse in Habakkuk. And we can build upon what we said tonight by bringing to your attention again that there is a landslide departure from the faith. It is not just the ones and twos here and there, but it is a landslide departure. Now, it has been experienced in some parts of the mainland. And those parts of the mainland are now living in the wake of that departure, and they are reaping the harvest that has been sown. The law of harvest never changes. If you sow weeds, you will certainly reap weeds. If you sow to sin, then you cannot expect to reap righteousness and prosperity and that which is pleasing to men in general. And I would like tonight to draw your attention to this question, because I do believe that it is very, very important. And I want to encourage you tonight. I'm not going to speak about Sunday school teachers or committee men or elders. But let's just think for just a moment tonight about ministers, gospel ministers. Well, first of all, before we go there, I can say tonight that there are people who, in my opinion, who came with me and taught me personal evangelism in some degree, and they were far better at it than I would ever be, and they've gone away. And there were people who, when I was just a young man attending the prayer meetings, they were there praying, and they were able to pray far more eloquently than I could ever pray, and they've gone away. And there were evangelists in Ulster who, in my opinion, could preach far better than I could ever preach, and they've gone away. They've gone away for all kinds of reasons, and I could list them tonight. If you wanted me to, there is adultery. One at least was done for drunken driving. And we could go on and on and on, but we're not here tonight to criticize individuals. But suffice to say that every Christian is in a great danger of going away. Him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. And I trust tonight that as we look at this question, will ye also go away? Some people say, oh, that'll be a great tax to preach at a youth rally. Well, in spite of all of our difficulties, I'm convinced that the Free Presbyterian Church has some tremendous young people, great young people. And if the truth be known, maybe the most of the going away is not among the young people. Because remember, Christianity is a religion of your heart. And you can still be in the meetings and you can have gone away long ago. And I think it would be wrong to single out young people and say, well, that's the sort of message you need to preach to young people. I'm not convinced about that at all. I think there's a message here for all of us who are not so young anymore. And I trust tonight as we look at this that it will help you. I want to notice first of all the promptings to go away. The promptings to go away. When a person comes to the Lord, it doesn't matter where it is when they're saved, they come to the Lord, generally speaking, there's at least some interest in coming to meetings. If there's no interest at all, then there's something badly wrong. But it's right to say that people grow at some at a faster rate than others. Some will be found in all of the meetings almost right away, and they'll be going on with the Lord. They will be doing different things in the work, and they will seem to progress quite quickly. Others will not progress so quickly. And that is just the way it is. It does not mean to say that there's anything wrong with either person, but there's new life there. And that person has that desire to go on with the Lord. But it is a rare Christian. It is a rare Christian who is not confronted with a prompting to go away. We don't have time to go into them tonight. They are numerous. They are diverse. And they are often confronting the Christian. One of the promptings to go away is this, that whether we're young or old, we really don't like to be seen to be different from other people. And you can trace that right back to God's Word and look at various individuals that we find there. And we find them walking with the Lord. And then when we look at them a little bit later on, we find them out of touch with the Lord. Remember Peter. Remember what Peter said here to the Lord. He said, verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
These were good words. This was typical Peter, by the way. He had to get in before anybody else and say, not me, Lord. It'll not be me that do it. Within a few short months, Peter was sitting among the world's crowd, denying that he even knew the Lord. Sitting among the world's crowd, denying that he even knew the Lord. You see, it is in all of us to not want to be seen to be different from anyone else. We live in a pleasure-crazy world. I'm not speaking here about sport and those things which are generally in themselves good. But we live in an age when sinful pleasure is not only seen as acceptable, but it's promoted in almost every advertisement and television. And everywhere you look, it is promoted. And two types of people can sin. Unconverted people do sin. Christians can sin, but only one type of person can enjoy it. A Christian doesn't enjoy sin. They may fall into sin, and they may get to that point where they're following after what the rest are up to. But there's no contentment and there's no real happiness to be found there. And it would be naive tonight for me to say, or for you to say, well, listen, Mr. Salt, it may happen to whoever it may happen to, but this is not going to happen to me. I wouldn't say that, because Peter felt that. He was far more courageous than I would ever be. He was far more experienced. He had far more capability than anybody today to preach. And yet, as I mentioned earlier, just a few months after the Lord asked this question, a short time, Peter was sitting among the ungodly saying, I never knew him. Not only that, but he denied the Lord with curses and oaths. You think of the Galatian Christians there. We're speaking here of people that were dear to Paul's heart. I've read the portion before and it bears repetition. He starts chapter 5 in Galatians by saying, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Then he goes on to say in verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? If you look at the portion here very carefully, and we've looked at it on various occasions before, these people were saved. The Galatian church was a Christian church, but they had been converted from Judaism. And there were those Judaizers who had now brought them to that point of confusion, where they were indeed in great danger of being entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Would it not be fair tonight to say that maybe they didn't really want to be that different from anybody else? They appreciated the gospel that they had heard, and they appreciated the Christ that had saved them, but the impression had been so strong upon them from other people that didn't really want to be any different. Again, people may say, well, that's just us young people today. They don't want to be different from anybody else. Well, I happen to think that some of them do want to be different. But as an older person, I wonder, do we not want to be different from anybody else? Would it not be true tonight to say that one of the things that can prompt us to go away is that we want to be like everybody else? I mentioned to you people earlier there, I know far too many who've gone away. And as I said, they were better personal evangelists than me. They were better prayers than me. They were better preachers than me. And they've all gone. And I don't take any joy tonight in telling you that, but it happens to be my own personal experience. Therefore, when I look at this question, will ye also go away? And I think of what I mentioned earlier on, him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. It frightens me. It frightens me tonight. But there's not only the thought here that people may not want to be different from everybody else, but there is the thought of personal friendships and relationships. There's no doubt that those who were gathered around the Lord at that time had many who would have known them, and some of them quite well. In verse 61 it says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, you would wonder why they murmured at it, wouldn't you, what he had said. He said unto them, doth this offend you? Now, if you read the verses very carefully, what the Lord Jesus Christ said should not have offended true disciples. But again, it shows me how vulnerable we all are. How vulnerable we are. And whenever we look back on our own life's experience, it could be perhaps the experience of some of us that we've been persuaded to go in a certain direction, being persuaded to take a certain line of activity or whatever, because we wanted and we were close to other people, and people that we had a close relationship with, they affected us. But there's not only the effect of personal relationship and the effect of not wanting to be different from anybody else. There is the fact tonight that every one of us is vulnerable. Every one of us is vulnerable, brethren. And I mentioned to you some individuals there, and I've no doubt tonight, some of them wouldn't speak to me to start with, not that I did anything in them, but simply because they're so far away from the Lord and they are so bitter against Christianity in general and against the Free Church in particular and all of that. But if they were to sit and talk to me, they would all, to a man, say, "I never intended it to end up this way. I never intended it to end up this way." So there's not only the promptings to go away, and they're before us all the time. You may face them this week. You may face them before the night's out. But they're real and they're there. And they're with God's people right up until this moment in time. But there's not only the promptings to go away, but look at the indications of going away. I want to follow that up by saying right away that a person can live a double life and they can live it very well. And you can fool other people. I'm not hard to fool. But I can fool you as well. But the fact of the matter is this: we cannot fool the Lord. And we cannot fool ourselves. You see, as I mentioned, Christianity is a religion of the heart. And you could be in all of the meetings. And you could have left off following the Lord long ago. I remember a senior minister saying one time regarding a person who was behaving, in a very arrogant way, but they would have come up to be a very, very, very strong Christian person, a great reformed person. And that man said, the sad truth is that I fear that man has not been in touch with the Lord for years. Now, he wouldn't have liked that, but time told that was true. He obviously hadn't been in touch with the Lord for a long time. Such were his subsequent actions. The indications of going away, well, I just want to mention them. There will be the absence of interest in praying. Praying is a struggle for every Christian. I challenge any minister or any elder to stand and say that they do not find it a struggle sometimes to get into the closet. They do not find it a struggle sometimes to get before the Lord in prayer. And if we're really honest tonight, it may have to be said that some difficulties in some congregations of some denominations are because ministers and elders are not before the Lord as they ought to be. And again, I don't point the finger at anyone, because if I do, there's three pointing back. An interest in prayer. And as we mentioned this morning, and we've mentioned it often from this pulpit, if we lose out in prayer, then we lose out in everything. We may not see the difference immediately, but eventually we will lose out in everything. Look at your own heart, because I have to ask the question to myself, will I also go away? Am I praying the way I did last year? Am I praying the way I did when I was first converted? Am I praying the way I did even a month ago? That's an indicator that we could be going away. But there's not only a lack of interest in prayer, but there's a lack of interest in the Word of God itself. Remember what Joshua was told in Joshua chapter 1. He was to meditate upon the Word of God. To bow down really carries the meaning. Day and night. Not to deviate from it to the left nor to the right. You know, many of the difficulties that there are among God's, that there is in God's work today, many of the difficulties that there is in the home, in family relationships, it is that the Word of God is set aside. I know people are busy, and it can be very, very difficult sometimes to get any free time, but I believe that every single one of us has time to read God's Word. You may not be able to take a full half an hour and sit and read the Word, but you have time to read God's Word. And God knows your circumstances, and He will bless you through what you are able to read. The Bible is a neglected and a very often disregarded book. One of the indications of going away, and I'm stating the obvious, I'm sure, to you, is lack of interest in prayer, lack of interest in the Scriptures, lack of interest in God's people. We talked about revival this morning. When revival comes, God's people get on very well. They have good things to say about each other. They try to encourage each other. Criticism is something which is not really experienced very much If you read Acts chapter 2 and 42, it speaks of the God's people being of one accord. How many times do we read that? If you're starting to dislike Christians and starting to not like being among Christians, then look at your heart. And I'm not being critical. I'm saying this to all of us for our own good. Check your heart and make sure that you're not beginning to drift away, that you're not beginning to go away, because some of the indicators of going away are no interest in prayer, no interest in the Bible, no interest in Christians. We could go on, no interest in serving the Lord. There should be joy in serving the Lord. That does not mean that everything goes rosy. That never happens. Or very seldom happens in the work of the Lord. You go to any of our missionaries and they will have a list of difficulties the length of your arm. And if they went out to the field 10 years ago, they had a list of difficulties the length of your arm then as well. And if they stay another 10, they'll still have a list that length. It does not mean there are no difficulties, but there is still joy in serving the Lord. Have you got an interest in serving the Lord, in prayer, in the Word, in each other? Have you an interest in sinners? You see, whenever you go away from the Lord, hell becomes less terrible. A praying Christian is very aware of the reality of hell. He's reading his Bible. He reads about hell. He thinks about the awfulness of it. He thinks that he has loved ones and people that he knows that are heading that way. And he's greatly concerned. Please do remember, the awfulness of hell is something which is ever before the Christian. And if we have a lack of interest in these things, could it be that there is a gradual, slowly but surely, slipping away from fellowship with the Lord? Very many people may not really be aware that they're edging away. But so often when something comes to a head and someone falls into gross sin, they're able to look back and say, I should have saw it coming, you know. I hadn't the same interest that I used to have. And how many dozens of people have testified and said, you know, I was backslidden for a while, but I wasn't reading the Bible. Things as elementary as reading your Bible and praying and trying to be out at the meetings. These are all indications, folks, of going away. That is why I, as much as any of you, or perhaps more than that, because of my responsibility, have to be looking at my heart every day and say, Karen, will you also go away? Look at these men. They're far better than you were. They're far more courageous than you would ever be. They stood the ground where you would have run. And yet the Lord said, will you also go away? What an important question it is. But I want you to notice not only the promptings to go away and the indications of going away, but I want you to notice this. If we go away, then there will be trouble. You see, one of the reasons why people go away is this, that faraway fields seem to be green. Please remember this tonight, that all that glitters isn't gold. And again, I'm not just speaking to young people. They're older folk as well, and they felt, well, if only I could get out from among that crowd, and if I could stop listening to him, and if I could get away to some other place at home or whatever, I can read my Bible at home, and I can be a Christian at home. That is a sure sign that people are losing out with the Lord already. And if you talk to backslidden people tonight, those that have got away from the Lord, if they are really, really honest with you, they will soon become disappointed in the lifestyle that they're pursuing. There will be great disillusionment for them. There will be heartache down the road for them. Over there in the Psalm 106, verse 14, I read the words for you. It says, concerning the children of Israel, but they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request. That was something that the Lord was inclined to do, give people their request. But look what it says. But sent leanness into their soul. They got what they wanted. But the word leanness there means diminishing. They thought if they could forget his works, as verse 13 tells us, and not wait for his counsel, as verse 13 tells us, and lust exceeding in the wilderness, and say, oh, far better that we'd been back in Egypt. The Lord just let them have some of the things that they were asking for, but he sent diminishing into their soul. They weren't progressing. So often, people feel if I can get away, then I can progress far better. This Christianity, it's really like, it's got a sort of a stranglehold upon me. That's the devil's lie tonight. It's the devil's lie tonight. And many a person tonight has to be like Peter. And they have to face up to a situation and I have to look back and say, there was that time in my life when my life shut my lips. My life shut my lips. I couldn't speak for the Lord because I was away from the Lord. I know people who tonight, in all possibility at this moment in time, are so bitter and so far away from the Lord, and they will be in the meeting. And they'll be looking, and if the minister goes 2 minutes over the time, they'll be going like that. And they'll be criticising the people on the way out. They will in all likelihood mention one or two individuals on the way out, probably different ones every week. What is the problem? The problem is that they've gone away from the Lord, and it is time that they faced up to it. Stubbornness and bitterness and resentment and all of that which is grieving to the Lord. Remember Saul in the Old Testament? He was a Christian. He was initially seemed to be quite a good man, but he didn't follow the Lord the way he should have. He didn't give the leadership that he should have given. And do you remember whenever David was finding favour with the people and the Lord was blessing him, Saul became so jealous and so full of resentment and so full of stubbornness and bitterness, and there was murder in his heart at the time, and he was a man who was living in absolute misery. What had happened? He was losing out with the Lord. Remember Samson? He had been given great power by the Lord. We said before concerning Samson, if you see a little book, it may show Samson as Mr. Universe, like this, with great big biceps and a big muscle man. I happen to believe that Samson was just an ordinary man, just like any of the rest of us here. And when the Lord gave him the strength was seen to be supernatural. Because if he was a great big muscle man, then people would have expected strength. He's an ordinary man. But remember, whenever he had sinned, he went out, as at other times, to the Philistines, and he wished, or he knew not, that the Lord had departed from him. Yes, he was the Lord, but the strength was gone. That is one of the implications of going away. That is part of the trouble, if we go away from the Lord. And again, I'm saying not necessarily in action, as far as other people can see you, but as far as our heart is concerned, how easy it is to get away, to drift away, and over a short period of time to find ourselves in the awful situation of being away from the Lord. I want you to mention here, and I finish speaking with Christians at this, there are many incentives not to go away. Many incentives for us not to go away. There's the blessing that Christian fellowship can bring. There's the benefit and strength that the Word can give us. There's the blessing of prayer. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew your strength. If you're discouraged and downcast and you're feeling weary in your mind, wait upon the Lord. That is one way of renewing your strength. That's what the Bible says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, their spiritual strength. God keeps His Word. There is the thought of purpose in life. If you're following after the Lord, you're not chasing the wind, as unfortunately some Christians have ended up doing when they've went away. There is peace of mind and knowing that your heart is right with the Lord. There is the prosperity that the Lord can give you in the work, so on and so forth. Didn't Paul say in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But he said in the verse before that, forgetting those things which are behind. Yes, sometimes young Christians lose out with the Lord, maybe in teenage years or something, and they fall into sin. But very often they come back to the Lord. What do they need to do? The same as you and I need to do. Forget those things which are behind. Don't batter yourself to death over what you've done in the past. Don't let it haunt you and prevent you from serving the Lord. If you went away, let it go away. And just look to the Lord afresh, and the Lord is able to restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. You see, Peter's big mistake is very evident. Look what it says in verse 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. You see, Peter could really only speak for himself, but here he's speaking for everybody. Peter forgot to take a good look at his own heart. And as I mentioned to you just a wee while ago, Peter found himself sitting among the world's crowd, denying that he even knew the Lord. I must answer this question every day, and you must answer it every day. Will I also go away? I trust that we'll not go away, but that we will make sure that we stay close to the Lord, and that we follow after Him, and we seek to be at our best for Him. And if you're not converted tonight, I have something to say to you. Unsaved people are always going away. There's a mission on just at the present time in Derryfubble outside Dungannon. Some unconverted people will already have been present and they've gone away. You see, I mentioned earlier that there are two types of people can sin. A Christian can sin and the unsaved person can sin, but ultimately the unsaved person is the only one who can enjoy that sin. But the Bible puts a limitation upon his enjoyment. There's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. And far too many people have fallen into the trap that thinking because that season has extended to years and perhaps even to decades, that it's going to last forever. Well, it's coming to an end. In the book of James we read, what is your life? What is your life? Well, some people would have plenty to say. Some unconverted would have plenty to say regarding their life. But the Bible tells us what our life is. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. I think I mentioned to you folk before where we used to live after we were married. There was a marshland and woodland behind us, and sometimes in the early morning there'd be a lovely mist out over the land. And you know, it seemed to be real. You could almost reach out and grab it. But then it just disappeared. It just disappeared like that. And that's what James says your life is. It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. And yet very many people still go away from the Lord Jesus Christ. We needn't go any further than the verses we read tonight. Have a wee look with me there quickly. And we say, first of all, that many unsaved are content to go away from the sacrifice of Christ. Look at verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You see, he's saying here he gives his flesh for the life of the world. Why does he give it for their life? Because they're dead and they're doomed. Men are on their way to hell. There are people who attend their Free Presbyterian churches from boyhood or little girlhood that come right through the church, now finds them in middle years or perhaps even further on than that. What, they're still doomed. And they're still dead. And they're still very happy to go away from the sacrifice of Christ, not recognizing and sometimes certainly not appropriating to themselves the necessity to be born again of God's Holy Spirit. No time for the Lamb. No thought of the blood of the Lamb that was shed for sinful men, that needs to be applied to sinful men's hearts, and that provides shelter for those who turn to the Lord for salvation. Tell me tonight, have you been running away from the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was raised again for our justification? But the unconverted are not only going away from the sacrifice of Christ, they're going away from the security that is provided in Christ. Please look at verse 53. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Well, you see where it says, except ye eat. In the original Greek, the thought is of a once and for all. That verse is speaking of actually coming to the Lord and being converted to him and putting your faith and trust in him. And if you will do that tonight, there's a place assured in heaven for you. And nothing can ever change that. Your circumstances can't change it. Your weakness can't change it. Other people can't change it. A place assured, but there's not only a place assured for those who trust him. There's peace of mind. What's your peace of mind worth tonight, unconverted person? We all love to have peace of mind. Even Christians have much that can trouble them. But the trouble of the unconverted is a far greater trouble, because there's no peace as you consider your latter end tonight. Because one day, when you pass from the scene of time, if you're not saved, there's only one other place for you, and it is the place called hell. But the security in Christ, as I mentioned to you, where it says, except ye eat the flesh of the Son, the words except ye eat there really refers to a once and for all action. It is a conversion to Christ, a place assured, peace of mind, and permanent attention. That is the Christian's experience. So many are going away from it. But not only are so many going away from the sacrifice of Christ and the security that is found in Christ, but they're going away from the supply that Christ can give. Look at verse 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. The word eateth there is a different word. It's in the continuous tense. It refers to a feeding upon Christ when you've come to him. And that brings me back to what I said earlier on. A
of being in the Word, of being at the meetings, and feeding upon the Lord. The unconverted person knows nothing of this. Why? Because they've never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. They've never done that. I'm reminded again tonight of the very well-known story of the prodigal. The prodigal had went away from the father's house. If we view him as a picture of the sinner, he was quite content to feed himself with the husks that the swine did eat. A husk was an old empty thing. Very, very low nutritional value. And you would need to eat an awful lot of it to be anywhere. In fact, no matter how many of them he ate, it seems that he wasn't really becoming anything the better of it. And yet when he came to the father's house, he was fed on the very best there was. The world offers husks. It offers husks that seem to be substantial when you look at them, but there's no realness in them. There's no reality there. There's nothing that will be of any benefit to your soul. But when you come to Christ, then you're feeding on the living bread. Sometimes we sing, I'm feeding on the living bread. Tell me tonight, are you feeding upon Him? Or is this just going to go down in your history as another date when you went away from the Lord Jesus Christ? You turned your back upon the sacrifice. You turned your back upon the security that He can provide for those who come to Him. And you turned your back upon the supply that He gives to all who know Him. Ask yourself the question, unsaved, will you go away again? Because you've done it so many times before. May the Lord help you tonight not to go away, but to come to Him. Remember His promise, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to all of your hearts tonight. Going to turn to 273, please.